Hello and welcome to the Karate Priest Podcast. I'm your host, Father Daniel Duplantis. I'm a martial artist, musician, airman, and a priest of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. One of my other passions in life is teaching, especially teaching about the Catholic faith. Catholicism is a very deep faith. Jesus himself told Peter to put out into the deep for a catch. The most significant answers to life's most important questions often lie deep beneath the surface. Many people have questions about their faith. Through this podcast, my aim is to explore these questions and encounter incredible people along the way. Their stories show that God is constantly at work in our lives every single day, sometimes in the ordinary and sometimes in the extraordinary. Some of the topics treated in this podcast may be sensitive or controversial, but their discussion holds the key to truly living as God created us to live, which is to say that He created us to live in authentic freedom, loving Him above all else. Thank you for joining me on this journey of faith, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Karate Priest Podcast. We are just passing Mother's Day, so I want to give a very special happy Mother's Day or belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there who are listening and just giving thanks for the gift of our mothers. This has been a bit on my mind lately because as we just passed Mother's Day, one of the Catholic high schools in my diocese, we just had a mother-daughter women's self-defense seminar for Mother's Day weekend, which was a really awesome event to have moms and their daughters there. We had some martial arts instructors come in to kind of teach some general self-defense, and I was able to help out with that, which was really cool. As always, getting to use martial arts in my ministry is just such a great thing. But it really kind of got me thinking as to, you know, maybe as a follow-up to one of the first episodes we did on the podcast, which is Catholic principles of martial arts and self-defense. Because one of the things we covered in this mother-daughter seminar was just some statistics and some alarming statistics, namely that like just the increase of assaults happening, whether they be aggravated, sexual, things of that nature, the need for self-defense seems to be increasing. The world is becoming crazy, as I think many of us can see. And simply for the sake of just being aware of our surroundings, you know, wanted to kind of revisit one of those primary precepts of the natural law theory, which is self-preservation. And so with that, I kind of want to, you know, get to some statistics as to what we're looking at. And so this is, a lot of these are coming from 2019 is one of the more recent years I could find complete statistics for. And this is for aggravated assault. In 2019, there was an estimated 821,182 aggravated assaults in the U.S. The estimated number of aggravated assaults increased 1.3% when compared to with the 2018 estimate, and increased 5% when compared to the 2010 estimate. So with that statistic right there, and these are coming from the FBI themselves, what that's showing is that there's still an incremental increase in aggravated assault. It's not something that's going away. It's only growing. And so the estimated rate of aggravated assault in 2019 was 250.2 per 100,000 inhabitants. From 2010 to 2019, the rate of aggravated assaults decreased by 1%. So the rate went down in the last decade, but that's still a pretty high number to say 250.2 per 100,000 inhabitants. And then on top of that, of the aggravated assault offenses for which law enforcement provided expanded data in 2019, 27.6% were committed with firearms. That's more than a quarter were committed with firearms. Personal weapons such as hands, fist, or feet were used in 25.2. So right there is a quarter of these assaults as well. And knives or cutting instruments were used in 17.5%. Other weapons were used in 29.8% of aggravated assaults. So we're looking at a lot of weapons being used. But at the same time, a quarter of these assaults are simply hand-to-hand. And so what's really, you know, really kind of the point I want to get at with this
is really the fact that you have to be aware of your surroundings. And that's one thing that we were talking about with the ladies at the seminar, was it's very easy nowadays to be walking around on a sidewalk, to be walking in, even in public places like parking lots and stuff, with our headphones in and on our phones. And that's very, very dangerous for anybody. And we're not just talking about like the women here. We're talking about anybody, to not be aware of our surroundings, especially in public places, because we never know when someone might try to rob us, might try to steal from us, might try to assault us. And so, again, awareness is always extremely important. I'm the kind of person that I walk into a room or I walk into a building and I like to take in my surroundings. I like to know where the nearest exit is. I like to know kind of where everything is, just for some reason in case of emergency. And that's maybe just because I've been training in martial arts for 20 years, that's how I process my surroundings, you know, is just kind of being aware of where I am. And so that's a lot of just, you know, the sense of awareness. And also, you know, a few alarming headlines have come up in my area recently as well. There was a student at Southeastern University in Hammond, Louisiana, and she was kidnapped at gunpoint and sexually assaulted. And that's happening a lot on college campuses. And that's a very alarming factor as well. In Houma, my hometown here, Houma, Louisiana, we had a girl who was walking on a sidewalk and had her phone in her hands, earbuds in her ears, and somebody in a car was turning around because they saw her being vulnerable in that state. But then there was another passerby, a good Samaritan, who was able to scare off the car. So again, being aware of our surroundings, because it could very easily happen to anybody. I think one of the statistics that was given was that every 6 minutes, someone is being assaulted in the United States. And so there's a great need for being able to protect ourselves. And this is why I encourage anybody to at least do some kind of, you know, at least basic martial arts training. There's some simple techniques out there that people can learn and just be very, very practical with. You know, you don't have to stick it out to get a black belt. You don't have to, in some senses, do several years of classes. You can take seminars, at least practice, you know, the really practical stuff and just master it well. But I think there is a great need for martial arts training, again, because of that whole primary precept of self-preservation. And so with that, you know, it also comes down to, well, how do we train? So again, we've kind of rehashed that issue of why train. We just heard the statistics. And so a lot of this has to do with how we train as well, because you can't just show up and start doing motions and doing movements. One of the things I want to talk about today is a sense of realism in training. And that's the thing too, is to divide martial arts training into a couple of different types and different aspects. With most martial arts, you're going to have pretty much like three different types of training. You're going to have your sport training, which there's usually almost always a sport version of the martial arts. There's an Olympic sparring version of Taekwondo. Karate just made its way into the Olympics, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu, all of these martial arts have usually some kind of competitive or sport aspect to them. So the way you train for the sport aspect is going to be slightly different from how you train from the other two. On top of that, you have kind of what's considered the broad curriculum of that art. It's like for Taekwondo, learning the forms, learning all these high kicks and stuff that we do. And then on top of that, you have the real self-defense version of these martial arts. Because when we're training to do spinning hook kicks to people's heads or down kicks, you know, kicking anywhere to the head or really anything above the waist is going to be part of our like traditional training, but not so much for self-defense purposes. Because the idea is for a Taekwondo practitioner, you can't just stop if you're being assailed by someone and say, wait, I haven't stretched. You know, so you have to focus on low impact kicks in hand techniques as well. So that's the thing. A lot of people, especially in terms of Taekwondo, really kind of have this misconception that it's strictly legwork or it's strictly kicks, and that's not the case. We have to remember what the origins of Taekwondo is, and a lot of it is Okinawan karate. You know, a lot of the original Taekwondo masters studied karate, and so Taekwondo originally has a lot of hand work, and so we can't forget that, and we can't lose those techniques as well. There is a practical self-defense part of Taekwondo. And so you really have to look at what reason are you trying to take martial arts for? And in this case, we're going to focus more on the self-defense aspect because that's kind of the idea for this podcast, the need for self-preservation according to that natural law theory. And so when we come to that kind of training, This is where you have to just know what's your tools, know what's available. Use kind of like use your body, because most of the time, if you don't have a weapon, if you don't have pepper spray, you know, you have to be able to defend yourself with your bare hands sometimes, right? And so it's using parts of the body, right? So you have to look at like what's the weakest points of the body as well. If you're going to fight back at an assailant, you know, looking at like knees being a weak point, you know, they can't keep fighting and they can't chase after you if they have a blown out knee, things like that. You know, for the ladies, one thing we like to teach is using your fingernails, right? If you can just like claw at their face and get their DNA on under your fingers, you know, you can, one, you leave scratch marks. If you have to identify the person in a police line, guess what? They have scratch marks on their face, or at least you get their DNA so that the DNA can be run, right? So it's using things like that, being smart. For ladies, wearing heels, right? You have, if you have a pointy heel on your shoe, drive it through someone's foot, right? Things like that. We're talking about like, you know, real world situations. And then how we, you know, go about training for the situation is important too. And the reason I mentioned that is because it's one thing to train for the sake of perfecting technique, of perfecting the actual execution of martial arts techniques. But at the same time, we have to add a sense of realism to training. And that's what we call either stress training or duress training. And so like being under duress, how do we do that? You know, and so one of the ways that recently we just had a Aiki Jujutsu and Jido Kwan seminar at my school. And what we did was, I had never done this before, and this was really neat, was we did some blindfold duress training. And so what we did was you have one person in the middle who's wearing a blindfold, and you have about four or five people kind of walking in circles around them. And then the people in the circles would pick who would go next, and you would attack from different directions, and you would basically come up and either, you know, grab the wrist or do like a bear hug from behind, go into a choke. And the idea is that for the person who's blindfolded is to be able to react as naturally as possible, to use the techniques you know, and just let it be natural. And again, also to not be able to trust our eyes, because many times we're in a real life situation, things are going to happen so fast. You can't trust on everything that you see. You can't always be looking at where you're trying to get your hand out of a grip. You have to be able to feel techniques. And so that's one thing I really got out of this blindfold training, was being able to feel techniques. When someone grabbed my wrist, being able to feel where the weakest point is, which is the opening between the index finger and the thumb. You know, someone coming in for a two-handed choke, of realizing that if anything, I know if I come with my arms from top to bottom and do an arm split, I can dislodge their hands, or to come from either side, knowing my circles, knowing my motions, and just being able to feel techniques. Someone grabs me from behind, being able to just drop, extend my arms to loosen the grip, and then going into a different throw or something, or going into different strikes. So a lot of that is how we tend to look at stress training, is actually being able to put ourselves in stressful situations where there's a handicap on us for the sake of practicing realism. So again, a lot of this has to do with the different methods of training. And that's not the only kind of stress training. Sometimes you have to use like we call them dummy weapons and things like that, because in a real life situation, you might be assaulted by somebody with a weapon. So practicing with fake knives, learning how to, you know, disarm different weapons and things like that, knowing how to move out of the way when a weapon is presented, right? Knowing your angles, things like that. Understanding the psychological aspect of what's going through an assailant's mind when they present a weapon. And so a lot of this has to do with just like the philosophy behind why we train in martial arts. And again, a lot of this goes back to that principle of self-preservation. It is a crazy world out there. And that's the thing, martial arts training, I encourage people to take classes, you know, but if anything, you know, knowing your surroundings, that's a key thing here. We have to be aware of who and what is around us, to know the situations we're in, and really just for the sake of protecting ourselves and others, being able to defend ourselves. Again, it is a God-given right. It's part of the natural law. We are allowed to defend ourselves. And so again, this is just a very brief kind of explanation as to why train, just to give a really quick kind of headline of this is the reality of the world. This is what's happening right now. And so with that, I encourage you, look into some local self-defense seminars. Most law enforcement agencies from time to time will offer women's self-defense. Most martial arts schools will from time to time offer women's self-defense seminars, or just general self-defense seminars, right? Look at your resources, see what's out there. And hopefully this is helpful. You know, again, a lot of this is meant to be practical. I would encourage anyone to train in martial arts simply for the value of training in martial arts. There's a lot to be gained from training. But if anything above all else, whether it be time constraints, whether it just be, you know, I just want to learn how to defend myself if possible, at least to get away, right? The first thing you want to do is if just get away, survive. If you can't fight back, and we don't really encourage fighting back unless absolutely necessary, to be able to get away from a situation, right? And so being able to get out of someone's grip, to get out, preserve your life. Again, this all comes back to that first primary precept of self-preservation. And so with that, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, a rather short one for now, but at least to say, hey, go check out some martial arts, you know, check out some self-defense. Above all else, enjoy the training, glean everything that you can from it. So with that, thank you all, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of The Karate Priest. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and like The Karate Priest on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're ever in South Louisiana, come visit me at the Cathedral of St. Francis de Sales in Houma. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can also email me at thekaratepriest@gmail.com. Your questions are welcomed and may be used in future episodes. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for the International Association of Metatomics at metatomics.org, or find us on social media for other unique content.